The reading this morning is from Ephesians. It's chapter 4, verses 1 to 16. If you want to follow it in the seat Bibles, the church Bibles, page 207. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beg you to lead life worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness and patience, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. But each of us was given grace according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore it is said, when he ascended on high, he made captivity itself a captive. He gave gifts to his people. When he said he ascended, what does it mean but that he is also descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is the same one who ascended far above all the heavens, so that he might fill all things. The gifts he gave were that some would be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until all of us come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to maturity, to the measure of the full stature of Christ. We must no longer be children, tossed to and fro and blown about by every wind of doctrine, by people's trickery, by their craftiness in deceitful scheming, but speaking the truth of love, we must grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, for whom the whole body, joined and knitted together by every ligament with which is equipped, as each part is working properly, promotes the body's growth in building itself up in love. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning, everyone. So when I found out that I was asked to do a talk today, I had loads of mixed feelings. Similar to Adam, I didn't have a relationship with my dad, although he lived down the road. I remember seeing him, and I remember him being with his other children and them having that life. When I got older, I resented my mum because I thought she was holding me back from that relationship. And now I realise that we put our frustrations and anger into the wrong people sometimes. And then I found out that I was one of 11, so I probably wasn't the only person feeling like that. So, yeah, there was a lot of questioning to God about why I didn't have a dad. But then I started to realise that God didn't leave a blank space in my life. It was filled. I had a bit of an unconventional family, but it was a family. My mum always gave me constant love But my granddad stepped right into the gap as a steady father figure. He was the one that taught me what being a man truly meant. He encouraged me in every single aspect of life just to be exactly who God wanted me to be. And then there was Ronnie, who was my stepdad. You will know him as Serena and Ronnie Jr.'s granddad, but to me was dad. He was definitely unconventional, but he always gave me the space just to be myself. Even though things didn't continue between him and my mum for very long, he never stopped accepting me as part of the family. And together, they gave me a very unconventional yet strong foundation. So I decided to really look at this reading, and there's a lot going on. So for me to make sense myself, I kind of split it up. But I think the whole thing can be summed up in a way that family isn't just about matching DNA. It's about a shared life, a shared love, and a shared bond. And that's exactly what Paul was talking about. He's looking at a messy, mixed-up group of people and telling us, you're a family now, so let's start acting like it. When we read the start of the passage, Paul invites us to live a life worthy of the calling we've received. That sounds pretty heavy. It sounds like we have to be absolutely perfect or super rigid all the time. But when we look closer at the simple tools he actually gives us to do this, it's just humility, gentleness, patience, and love. If we're being honest, we live in a world where those things are seriously hard to find. If someone cuts you off in traffic, our first instinct isn't always to be gentle. If someone disagrees with us online, our culture definitely doesn't teach us to be humble. The world around us shouts, demands its own way, and treats peace like it's a weakness. But Paul says we need to protect our unity through the bond of peace. I like to think of a physical rope holding things together so we don't drift apart. In our church, that rope is made of tiny everyday threads. Choosing to really listen to someone instead of just waiting our turn for an argument. Saying, you know what, I might be wrong about this. What do you think? That's humility. Choosing not to snap back when we're tired and annoyed, that's patience. When we do these simple things, we are actively knitting that bond of peace together. So as I move into the next part of the text, Paul reminds us that even though we are one family, we all have different gifts. He says there is one body, one spirit, and one father. But notice he says one body, not a collection of identical clones. I love that God loves variety. Unity doesn't mean we all have to look, act, and think exactly the same. What unites us is way deeper than our differences. We share the exact same father. Then Paul mentions descending, and with my research, this is a subject that has been written, studied, and nobody really understands what this bit means. So I kind of took it on myself to think, what does it mean to me? Jesus made the ultimate down-to-earth move. He left the perfection of heaven to step down into our messy, real, painful human lives. He came down to our level to serve us. And because he did, he gave gifts to every single one of us. When we hear about special spiritual gifts in church, I think we usually picture people standing on stages. But for me, a major spiritual gift is simply knowing when to put the kettle on. It's that moment I notice a friend is having a rough day, and instead of giving them a big theological lecture, I just walk into the kitchen, flip the switch on the kettle, and sit down to listen to their worries. When we step into someone's mess with a cup of tea, you are doing exactly what Jesus did, stepping into their reality to love them right where they are. These small everyday acts are what build the church. So this brings me to the ultimate goal of the family. God wants us to grow up. Paul says we shouldn't be like children anymore, tossed back and forth by the waves. Toddlers are great, but they are pretty unstable. One minute they're laughing, and then next they are having a full-blown meltdown because their toast was cut into squares instead of triangles. They get scared easily and distracted easily. A good parent, like my mum, or father figures like Ronnie, my granddad, love a child exactly as they are, but they don't want them to stay toddlers forever. They nurture them so they can reach their full potential. My granddad didn't just teach me how to be a man by handing me a list of rules. He did it by example, and he encouraged me in every single area of my life to stop trying to blend in and to just be exactly who God created me to be. That's what good fatherly figures do. They love us too much to let us stay small. And that is God's heart for us all. He is a proud father who wants us to grow up, be strong, stable, and look like Jesus in how we live. But there is a catch. We cannot grow up alone. Paul says the body grows when it is joined and knit together. A finger can't grow if it's chopped off from the head. It's all right, leave him there. A finger can't grow if it's chopped off from the hand. In God's family, we need a community to mature. We grow up together, or we don't grow up at all. When we stay knitted together, choose humility, and use our simple gifts, like putting the kettle on, we create a safe place where everyone can grow. God is our ultimate father, and he chooses to nurture us through each other. Sometimes his comfort looks like a friend sitting across from a warm mug. Sometimes his patience looks like a church member who simply refuses to give up. And this is quite funny, really, because as I've been preparing... As I've been preparing for this talk, and I definitely exploring this passage, I'm really thinking about the incredible parental figures in my life. I had a bit of a realization. I may not ever become a traditional father myself, aside from being a very proud dad of Bella and Coco, of course. But I realized that I get to fill that exact same void for other kids. I am so incredibly honored to be the crazy uncle who will always be there to support them, cheer them on, and show them they are loved. And that is the beauty of the family of God. You don't need a specific title to be a father figure, a mother figure, or a safe haven for someone else. So, this Father's Day, whatever our family backgrounds look like, let's remember who we are. Look at the people sitting around you today. We belong to a massive, beautiful family. So let's protect that bond of peace. Look for the small, ordinary ways to serve each other this week. And let's grow up together. Amen.
So it's time to pray now, and if you want to respond, I'll say, God in your mercy, and you can say, hear our prayer. Heavenly Father, on this day when we remember fathers and all those who care for us, we thank you for your love and grace in our lives. Help us to grow in humility, gentleness, patience, forbearance, encouragement, and love, and therefore become the church family you intend us to be. As the church grows in unity and love, may we transform this world that is fractured and divided. May you help us bring your peace and healing to your precious creation. Rekindle our hope and give us our daily bread, so whatever we may face, we have the strength to persevere, and that even in darkness and confusion, we will see and testify to your light, beauty, and joy. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for all those who care for us. We thank you for their sacrifices, their hospitality, like putting on the kettle, their kindness, and how they bring your kingdom here on earth. Heavenly Father, restore their energy, their strength, their wisdom, their patience, and may they abide in you, so not relying on themselves, but on you. God, in your mercy, we bring to you those whose care and responsibilities are huge, those in the emergency services, hospitals, those heading up organizations, those leading countries, those born with royal duties, and of course, shepherds within our church. Heavenly Father, may they follow your example and truly care for those they lead. God, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, this day can often be one when we reflect on the relationships we've had and have in our lives. Relationships aren't easy, and just as we can build one another up, we can also hurt one another. When we look at the world, its injustices and conflict, we see the importance of valuing one another, of forgiveness, of justice, of reconciliation. Help us to grow in the fruits of the Spirit, as it's only with your help that we can live with you, with one another, as you want us to. Give us grace and wisdom in our relationships, and help us to know how to move forward. God, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, we are all your children, and sometimes we just need your healing and comfort in our lives. We may know you are close, but at times it can be hard to feel it. Come close to all those suffering right now, in body, mind, and spirit, those grieving and experiencing loss. Sustain them, hold them, enable them to experience your love. God, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, thank you that you always hear our prayers and love us, your children, so much. Help us as we move forward and grow up into a new day and week. Amen. We now finish with the Lord's Prayer.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever.